This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
I've got something that may help you decide on the governor's race. Let's talk about empowerment scholarship accounts. Plus, I have Senator Kelly Townsend. The Jeff Horowitz Show starts now. All right, another busy show, folks. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horowitz here. Happy to be here with you today. I got quite a bit to jam-pack in here, including Senator Kelly Townsend, one of the LD7 Senate candidates. She's going to join us, talk about a bunch of issues. Probably talk about Governor Ducey signing the Empowerment Scholarship expansion. I'll give you some details on that here in just a second. This is making Arizona the leader when it comes to education freedom in the country. And we need that education freedom. Because did you see what the National Education Association for the Teachers Union, you know, talking about changing mother to birthing parent? I'll talk about that. It's just insanity in many of our public schools. So I'm glad to see the governor jump on board and sign this backpack of money where you can send your kid to any school, including private schools, including homeschooling as well. Yeah, it's really good news. I also want to help you during the program today, help you decide on the governor's race. And I'm talking specifically about the Republican nomination for governor between the four candidates that remain. A couple have dropped out through the whole process, but you've got Carrie Lake, you've got Karen Taylor Robeson, and you've got Paul Tuliani Zen, and you've got Scott Neely all vying for the Republican nomination. And those ballots went out yesterday, July 6th. And so you may get them today, but through the weekend and into next week. So what I did is I took apart their full-length interviews. They each did an hour with me or more, and I tried to keep with similar topics with each candidate. So today I took apart a clip, maybe 3 or 4 minutes long from each, their response when it comes to the border, and what would they do as governor when it comes to the border. If they get into that on the ninth floor down in Phoenix, how are they going to address the border? Should they address the border? So hopefully this helps. So stick around. I've got that for you in this first hour of the program coming up in just a second. If you've got a comment, I'd love to hear from you anytime. Thank you for everyone who chimed in yesterday during Open Line Wednesday. We hadn't done that in a while, and I had quite a few comments in the overflow box as well we'll try to get to. So if you left a comment, perhaps, maybe, we'll get to it here today. But leave your comments anytime, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. Before we get to all that, now I want to go over some news items here, some bills that were signed by Governor Ducey today. I already mentioned one of them, but there's another one when it comes to law enforcement. More news on this battle that's going on between Arizona and Department of Justice when it comes to election integrity and when it comes to proving that you're actually a citizen to be able to vote in this country. This is insanity that we even have to fight this kind of stuff. So I'll give you all that in my news picks in just a second. Sponsor for this segment of the show is Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff. Look, I don't want you to have to suffer the heat of the valley and go down to, I think there's a heat advisory down there today in the Phoenix area. Why would you go all the way down to Phoenix when you can go to Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff? And even if you're living in the Prescott area, or if you're in the Verde Valley, Sedona, and you're thinking about, hey, I want to go out and want a car shop. I've waited long enough. We've heard about all the challenges that many car companies have had in getting stock in. Well, Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff, they've got a great selection of new and pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Plus, you can shop dozens of other hand-picked luxury brand pre-owned vehicles, all in Flagstaff. And it's, if you're in Prescott, if you're in Sedona, it's actually a little quicker just to head on up to Flagstaff, and it's a heck of a lot cooler. I haven't checked the temperature, but I'm sure it's in the low 80s versus Phoenix. That's probably 120 plus degrees or something like that, and it's 400 degrees in your car. Don't do it. Go to Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff. You can also use their cool vehicle locator. They can have virtually any car you want delivered in about 48 hours. So don't suffer the heat. You can beat the heat at the coolest Mercedes-Benz center around. Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff in the auto park in Flagstaff. Be cool. Stay cool. Take a trip to Flagstaff, Mercedes-Benz. All right, let's go over my news picks before we get to Senator Kelly Townsend and some stuff on the governor's race. National Education Association. Ay, ay, ay. What do you say about these people? I mean, this is from Fox News. They proposed a resolution. I don't know if this thing passed or not. I pulled this article this morning, earlier in the day, and it is a resolution to change mother to birthing parent. So check this out. The resolution would be voted on today, and we'll see if we can get an update if it passed. But I'm sure it did, right? By the General Assembly, it's like 6,000 educators. They're meeting in Chicago, and they're also meeting virtually, I guess. Resolution represents the teachers' union's opinions and beliefs. It was unclear whether the resolution passed. Fox News Digital reached out to the NEA for comment and asked whether the resolution passed, but did not immediately get receive response. Blah blah blah. Quote: using this contact language, members need not worry about how a Board of Education solicitor defines maternity leave. Mother and or father, the language is an inclusive reflection of how LGBTQIA plus members build families, the proposed resolution said. So they want to replace mother with birthing parent. The people that educate your kids. You know, there's too many options now in Arizona to deal with this kind of crap. Fortunately, we live in a state that has the best education freedom in the country. Other states are now going to have to follow Arizona's lead. And I absolutely applaud the legislature. Majority Leader Ben Thoma came up with this bill. The Republican legislature, every single Republican in the House and the Senate voted for this thing. Zero Democrats voted to expand the Empowerment Scholarship account. And today, Governor Ducey signed the bill. I'm excited about this. I applaud the governor for that. Look, I've had challenges with this governor. You all know that. But I applaud him for signing this bill. And this will be a big thing as he leaves office, is something he can look back at and say, hey, I changed education in Arizona by signing this bill. So I'm glad he did it. The rumor was he was going to, and he finally signed it today. Here's what he said. This is a monumental moment for all Arizona's students. Our kids will no longer be locked in underperforming schools. Today, we're unlocking a whole new world of opportunity for them and their parents, said Governor Ducey. With this legislation, Arizona cements itself as the top state for school choice, and as the first state in the nation to offer all families the option to choose the school setting that works best for them. Every family in Arizona should have access to a high-quality education with dedicated teachers. This is truly a win for all K-12 students. He goes on and on, but it's he signed it. HB 2853 is now signed into law. There'll probably be lawsuits, and the big question coming up, and I did an extensive interview with the Goldwater Institute, who were really behind this as well, as to what's covered with the Empowerment Scholarship accounts. And if you didn't listen to that, it's up at talkwithjeff.com. Just search Goldwater Institute. You'll see the most recent interview. And how they explained it was, if you go to a private school, the backpack of money follows you up to at least a certain amount. And that's still, I'm a little uncertain as to the amount. They were saying like $6,000 to $8,000, something like that. And I can tell you from experience, because my kids go to Flagstaff Christian School, it costs about $7,000. So under this new program, their tuition would be covered. And it covers everything. We're not sending in pencils. And you know, at the beginning of the public school year, they ask you for hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. And their average cost per student is like $10,000. So, you know, I give them the money and there you go. The kids are set for the year. So it's covering private schools. It's covering also, I was told, homeschoolers by the Goldwater Institute, although I think there are some tricky technicalities you got to figure out as to how you can get that funding. It's not going to cover you if you're a parent and you're like, hey, I'm working 6 hours, 8 hours a day teaching my kids and I deserve to make, you know, $25 an hour. It's not going to cover that, but it's going to cover education costs. Now, how it all gets rolled out, considering the kids go back to school starting in what, a few weeks, in a month, beginning of August, my kids go back to school. How that's all going to roll out and how it's going to impact this upcoming year, I'm confused on that, and we're going to have to bring in specialists over the next couple of weeks to try to figure this out. But I applaud the governor and I applaud the legislature for passing this. Another bill that was signed today was a ban that closes, that makes it so you can't record law enforcement in certain situations. This bill was signed yesterday. This is an article from Fox 15. The bill makes it illegal to record law enforcement within 8 feet Under the new law, it is a misdemeanor if someone keeps recording after getting a verbal warning to stop. There are, however, some exceptions to the law, including if the person recording is the one being questioned by police. So how I read that is you're being questioned, and let's say you're pulled over and you've got a video camera and you're being questioned through the window and you're a foot away from the cop. You can record that. But I think where they're trying to stop is someone butting into, let's say they're trying to arrest someone in a situation could be dangerous and somebody's got a camera in the face of the whole situation, you know, within 8 feet. So that is going into effect. And that's 90, these are usually 90 days from the session end. So that keep that in mind going forward. One more news item here. Actually got a couple more, but you know, let's do this. I got one on the Attorney General's fight with the Department of Justice and a court ruling that came out. We'll save that for a little bit here. Plus I got a handout. I'm not happy with Ducey and the legislature on this Hollywood handout. Yeah, the folks in Hollywood are going to get a special tax break that you and I will never get. So Hollywood tax break, we'll break that down in just a few minutes. Hey, I want to tell you about Timberline Firearms and Training. I'm a big advocate of getting trained when it comes to firearms and taking these training courses. And Timberline Firearms and Training, they're the absolute best in Northern Arizona. They can help you out. And whether you're new to firearms, you're somewhere in the middle, or you're a seasoned expert, go to my friends at Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. And when it's hot outside, like it's been, it's well worth going to their indoor shooting range as well. Plus, they've got all the accessories. They've got Liberty Safes. They've got firearms. They've got ammunition. They got all that right there. Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Take a drive or you can give them a call. I highly recommend that you book the training pretty far in advance because they fill up fast. Give them a call at 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Or you can go to timberlinefirearms.us and they'll be able to help you out. And I've dealt with Timberline for a long time, and you've heard Rob Wilson on this show a lot. I highly recommend. Oh, by the way, it's Tuesday. No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. And Thursday is ladies shoot for free. It's Ladies Day going on right now at Timberline. Don't forget to take advantage of this. It's only $10. You get range time and you get a gun rental as well. Check out Timberline Firearms and Training. Let's come back. I'll try to help you on this governor's race. Plus, we've got Senator Kelly Townsend in just a little bit. So coming up, what I did, as you know, we've had on so many candidates over the past couple of months for office. And as you know, your ballots went out yesterday, July 6th. So you may be getting them today into next week, throughout the weekend. I want to help you decide. I'm still undecided in one of the big races, which is the race for Arizona's governor. And I'm talking on the Republican side here because I'm voting for one of these Republican candidates. And there's four candidates left. Carrie Lake, Paula Tuliani-Zen, Scott Neely, and Karen Taylor Robeson. So what I did is I took apart each interview and by topic. So I've got a 3 to 5 minute clip here from each kind of back to back. So that way you can decide or at least hear them in their own words and kind of together rather than when I originally did these interviews, they were full length, an hour. I spent close to an hour with each of these candidates. So taking it apart by topic, I think is a good way. And the first topic we're going to cover here in just a second is when it comes to the border and immigration. So stick around for that. Sponsor for this segment of the show is my good friends at Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. Longtime sponsor here on the program, and Gutter Helmet itself is the number one gutter protection company in the world. They got their multi-patented, reverse curve that deflects the pine needles and the debris, has a lifetime warranty and over 40 years of experience. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now. You can save up to 30%. Please mention a Jeff Horvitz show because that's how you're going to save up to 30%. Plus, if you are a senior or if you're military, or if you're first responder, you also get a discount there as well. So call or text Carl the Gutter Helmet Man right now. Mention a Jeff Horvitz show, 928 928- 918-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or you can go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. Okay, so the question for each of these candidates, all four candidates here for the Republican nomination, Carrie Lake, Karen Taylor-Robeson, Scott Neely, and Paula Tuliani-Zen. Here's the question. What would you do as governor when it comes to the border? Is there a role for you to play as governor when it comes to the border, which is supposed to be the federal issue, a federal issue and under their jurisdiction? First up here, picked randomly, is Carrie Lake.
Well, what I would do right now is I would obviously get National Guard down there as much as I could. But, you know, Biden can always federalize our National Guard and then we lose control. But, you know, the federal government really does have a lot of control, obviously, when it comes to border and immigration. And we had
it's one of the things they're supposed to do, Carrie. Sorry to cut you off, but it's one of the things they're supposed to do.
He pulled back a policy, and I covered it for 27 years, the border. Nothing was working. Donald Trump comes in and puts in a policy into place that was working brilliantly. You ask any sheriff along the border. I mean, I was talking to Sheriff Lamb. He said, in 2018, we seized zero fentanyl pills. This year, we're on schedule to seize 500,000. Mm-hmm. So it's frightening what's happening. And Joe Biden is to blame for that and his administration. He turned over control of our border to the cartels in Mexico. We don't have a border right now, which is scary. So what would I do? If I were governor right now, I'd get more troops on the ground. But I would also take a look at, you know, obviously, we shut off building the wall. We had 20 miles of President's Wall to build. What we could do is we have about 20 miles of state-owned borderland. And I would work on getting a wall built on that. Now, we could do it one of two ways. We could go the wall the way the president was having it built, which is $10 million per mile. And, you know, Fisher Industries is based south of Phoenix, and they built part of the wall. They could do it easily. So we could start constructing that. It wouldn't take that long. If that's too much money, we could do an Israeli-style fence for about $1 million per mile and build it 18 feet tall or even taller if we wanted to go taller and at least put some barrier up. And you might say, Carrie, where are you going to get the money? Well, we have $1.6 billion right now in COVID relief money that is just waiting to be doled out, and God knows where it's going to go. I'm sure it's going to be going to a lot of people's cronies and political friends. We could take that COVID relief money, because think about it. We have people with COVID coming into this country, right? So we could just, you know, check that little COVID box off and use some of that money to build this wall. In addition, I would help sheriffs of Arizona to fully enforce the state laws that we have on the books, all of them. Just start going after anybody who comes in here across the border. That means criminal trespassing laws, resisting arrest laws, damage to property laws. A lot of people coming across are damaging, cutting ranchers' fences, damaging ranchers' property. We could go after them for carrying false identification, human smuggling laws, conspiracy. We could go after all of these minor crimes and push them to the fullest extent of the law and get the message out that you're not going to come through Arizona. Your life is going to be a living hell if you try to come up here through our border. But we got to get tough on it, and we have to have someone who's willing to do that. We have a lot of money sitting around that the feds have printed out, which I don't like. I really don't like that the feds are doing that. But it's sitting here in our state. Let's start putting that money toward stopping this invasion at our border. Because until we get Joe Biden out of the White House, we don't have a lot of hope coming from the federal government.
You've gotten President Trump's endorsement. Talk about that real quick.
I'm so thrilled. He recognizes that I am the one who will be tough on the border, be tough on crime. He understands how tough I am and that I will not put up with our elections being monkeyed with. We're not going to sweep 2020 under the rug. It's not going to happen with me, but it will happen with the people who I'm running against. They're buddies with all the people who were working on this election where it was malpracticed at the minimum, if not pure on criminal activity. It was at very least malpractice. I'm going to go after people for that. And President Trump knows that I don't have 30 years of political favors I owe on day one. He knows that I will be tough. And that's what he wants. And I'm going to work with him. And I think he will be back in office sooner rather than later. And I'm excited about that, because he actually cared about this country more than any other president in my lifetime save for Ronald Reagan. I think they were both right up there. So I'm excited about it. I got his endorsement. I also got this week an endorsement that is right up there with President Trump. And it is one of the lawmakers who I respect most and one of the men I respect most in this world. And that is Dr. Paul Gosar, congressman here in Arizona. He endorsed me, and I could not be more thrilled because Paul Gosar is exactly the kind of lawmaker our founding fathers envisioned. Believe me, they did not envision these career politicians who stay there for, 30 years and get rich. Paul Gosar works for the people of Arizona. He's not afraid to take on the tough issues. He doesn't look at the political ramifications. He looks at what's right, and he does what's right. I also have received the endorsement of Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, and former Ambassador Richard Grenell. And so I'm really, really thrilled with these top-notch people. I've also received the endorsement of Mike Lindell. These are people who care deeply about America, have risked everything for this country, and they're endorsing me, and that says a lot.
All right, you're listening to clips of my interview, these full-length interviews I've done with all four Republican candidates for governor, and that was Carrie Lake. Next up, same question that I asked her during her full-length interview, and these are being picked randomly. Here's the answer from Republican candidate for governor, Paula Tuliani-Zen. What would you do with the border? What's the issues? Is there a role to play as governor, or is it up to the feds? Here's what Paula Tuliani-Zen said.
Our attorney general should have done something early on. And, I talked briefly to our attorney general at an event, and I wanted to meet with him. And he says, no, I'm so busy filing lawsuits against Biden. Again, a little late, okay? No, the governor, attorney general, legislators, our sheriff, first month, first week, I want the meeting with the sheriff. I want to know what plan we can create. Because the sheriffs have a right to enforce the law for Arizona. And we're going to allow arrest and deport or call the patrol and get them back. But we're going to put authorities or judges right at the border. They're not going to be in Florence where, I talked to Wilmot and Yuma. Yeah, we transport them to Tucson. Tucson brings them to Florence. Florence, they get a document. That document states that they can appear in court from 1 to 9 years. He says they're not going to show up. Maybe 5% will. But we're not going to find the others. And that's right. You put them right at the border. We put a facility, temporary facility, that they're processed within 24 hours. All right? When you do that, the caravans will stop. I say there's a lot of people that are going to hate me. A lot of people are going to love me. Those cartels are going to hate me. Okay? And I also feel we need to negotiate. I may not be the federal government. But I want to speak to the president of Mexico. They've got to help us with this. This has to be stopped before it even comes into their border because 10% of who's coming in are Mexican. The rest are from other countries. That cartel has got control of that country. And you know what? We give money to all these countries. Why? Kamala Harris says the root cause, we've got to help these. No. You know what the root cause is? Kamala Harris, even to say stuff like that. No. And the human trafficking in our country, and our government doesn't do anything about it. It's incredible. 1985 was the first missing child in a milk carton. Today, we have so many missing children or people that are trafficked. We don't have enough milk cartons to put them on, okay? Or we do have enough milk cartons, but there wouldn't be enough distribution of it.
Yeah. No, so, that's a visual. I think back to the 80s and remember that. Now you don't even see it because the problem.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do, and it's sad.
You know what? We don't want to see it anymore. People don't want to know about it. Yeah. It's like hidden. We don't want to know about missing children, child trafficking. It's just too sad. It is. And federal government is allowing that. And I don't know how many people are involved at the top. This is a money maker. It always comes down to money. You know what? Like I said, they cannot buy me. I'm not going to bend on any issue that's going to hurt Arizona. I don't need a salary. I will not be compromised. And it's time that people that have succeeded step up and serve our state or our country. You don't go into a political position to make money. You make your money and then go serve, because you'll know how to help our people. And we need that now more than ever. We need the miracle.
Paula, let me ask you this one final question on the border. Do you go about building a border wall on your own with presumably either private money or Arizona taxpayer money? What do you do there?
Well, immediately, first of all, it's too difficult to build your own wall. You have a lot of private land that has to be negotiated. It would take us over 5 years. I still believe we need to finish the wall. It's symbolic. It separates us. But what I understand from Sheriff's technology is working the best. So we are going to get the best technology, which is it's more immediate. When I step in, I'm going to evaluate what is possible that we can have in our Arizona. And we implement that. And then we will fight to change the statute of our immigration with new Congress, hopefully, and that wall will continue. But the wall still could take 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay? And we have a lot of terrain that they will go around to. They'll go through the mountains, through the rivers. You know, we have the wall that opens up their flood doors for 4 months. And when those doors open up, the sheriff says, they just come right through. So, you know, that works, but we need the technology.
It's a combination.
Today,
okay.
It's a combination, right? But we put that in first, and then we fight to get that wall up, the existing wall, and it's possible. And, you know, also, other governors need to align. We need to unite. We need to push back, force Congress to put into legislation to make some of these things happen. And you know what? If governors rise united, because it is a national crisis, we may be more affected because they're coming through us, but they're going all over the country.
Okay, next up, same question, randomly picked here. Another candidate for the nomination for Republican governor, Scott Neely. Same question. What would you do when it comes to the border as governor? What's your role, and how would you handle this going forward?
The first thing you do is you deputize a posse. You use the sheriffs of the state to deputize a posse. You also get the Arizona National Guard out there on that border. And then you take the $5 billion infrastructure money we have earmarked coming to Arizona from the Biden infrastructure deal. You take that money, some of that, and you begin to construct 3 strategic National Guard border barracks on the border of Arizona and Mexico in the areas that are highest of traffic, so that we can have a militarized presence in those areas and deter people from wanting to come through the Arizona border. That would be what I would do on day one when I take office. I would sign an executive order on day one to do those things. Obviously, I'd have to get the state legislature to help me to authorize funds to do that. So I'd work with the legislature. Hopefully, we get a conservative legislature, and so we can work together for the common good and the protection of the state of Arizona.
And it's interesting because I've asked the question of why, when you saw that photo op of the gap in the wall, why the governor didn't do something. I've had on members of Congress and asked them, hey, let's go out there. And I was real simple with this, Scott. I was like, let's put some posts in the ground and at least put a temporary fence, something, you know.
Anything.
Yeah, dig a hole and get a 4x4 treated post in there. I know that's very simple. But he's like, well, they'll probably arrest you. You know, but as a governor, I don't see, unless it's for criminal activity, which maybe the feds would say that you put it up a wall yourself is criminal activity. But generally speaking, I don't see governors being, I don't see governors being arrested though when they do things like that and defy the feds on that level.
You know, he could do something. He just doesn't want to do something. He's busy coming up with plans to build desalinization plants in Mexico to provide them and supposedly us with water. I wouldn't build a desalinization plant in Mexico and put my water, energy, security in the hands of corrupt Mexican officials, drug cartels, terrorists. Why would we clean water there in Mexico when we could very easily just take the existing desalinization plant we currently have, which is in Yuma,
okay,
make it bigger, make it much bigger. We could pipe the water to Yuma, and then we could clean the water in Yuma. And then from Yuma, we could ship the water all over the state, and then it's cleaned up there, and we don't have to worry about it being terrorized or poisoned or terrorism or stolen from or anything like that. Over there in Mexico, oftentimes you have the cartel stealing oil out of their oil pipelines over there going between Texas and Juarez. They got some oil pipelines that go into Juarez over there, and oftentimes you've got the cartel stealing oil from the Mexican government. Why wouldn't they steal water that's being sold by the Mexican government to Arizona? They would. I can assure you they would. They'd steal water, and then there's always that chance that the water could be poisoned before it got here or on its way here. I mean, what if they dumped a ton of fentanyl in that water on its way over here and it got into our water systems here, and we charge our water systems with fentanyl poisoned water, and then we go ahead and wipe out most of the population of Arizona?
Last but not least, same question to Karen Taylor Robeson. What would she do as governor when it comes to the border and immigration issues?
Well, the federal immigration system is broken, yep. And I think it's broken by design, but it's been broken for 40 years. Arizona is on the front lines of what is now a 50-state border crisis. So it's costing us economically. From a national security perspective, we have people coming from 140 countries. We also have a human tragedy unfolding with the human smuggling, the sex trafficking, and the drugs that are flooding across the border, which, by the way, the precursor ingredients for fentanyl coming from China to the Mexican cartels to a neighborhood near you. You know, we need to call it what it is. We have a war on our border. And as governor, my job will be to protect the people and property of Arizona. And so I have a 6-point plan on my website. The first thing I will do is call our legislature into special session so that we allocate the proper resources to our border sheriffs and local law enforcement so that they can enforce the law and they can do their job. I will also construct the wall where we can. You know, we have federal land and tribal land. We have state land and private land. And I think we could do it, obviously, on state land because we have jurisdiction over the state land. And on private land, there are so many ranch owners down there who have had to abandon their property because it's too dangerous. So I think it is safe to say they will be very amenable to us building the wall on their property.
I would be
as well.
I've spoken to some of them. Yeah. Sure, you need an easement through here right away, whatever you call it.
Right.
I guess the trick is the federal side, and I honestly don't know how much of that, of our border consists of that. I imagine quite a bit, because the state of Arizona, if you were to shrink it down, get rid of the federal land, is much smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like 20% private property, something like that.
17% of our 70? Property in Arizona is private.
It's crazy when you think about that. So you would use state resources then and complete what you can.
Absolutely. You know, the estimates are that the illegal crossers cost Arizonans $2 billion a year. $2 billion. So if nothing else, this is an investment in trying to stop it. And where we have a wall, it works. Where you don't have the wall, it doesn't work. So the more wall we can build, it allows us to use our law enforcement personnel more efficiently.
Yeah, okay. What else? I mean, right now they're busing people to voluntarily, though. Do you get into the, you can't get into the deportation business and things like that, I think. Or do you do it and say, feds come get me?
Well,
I haven't seen a governor arrested. I mean, unless it's something criminal, but for opposing the feds, I've never seen a governor arrested for that. Do you do that?
Well, it's, you know, we will pursue all options. Okay. But you know, you see Governor Abbott, now we've seen Governor Ducey shipping them to DC with gas prices. I'm going to ship him to California. We're going to send him to Kamala Harris's front door, Nancy Pelosi's front door, and Gavin Newsom's, who, by the way, wants to give them free health care. Yeah. So I think we're going to get a lot of volunteers, and you know, we're going to cut the price.
I just go there. You give me free health care and all that. Can we build a border between California and Arizona?
No, I keep getting asked that question. So
yeah. All right, that's all four. Same question on the border. I'd like your thoughts. Did that change your mind at all as far as who you're voting for governor? If you're voting for one of the Republicans, send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. This portion of the show brought to you by the Blind Brothers. And I can't speak highly enough of this great Arizona company, where you can buy your blinds, shutters, and shades right here in Arizona. And great thing about them is you're not dealing with subcontractors. You're dealing directly with a family-run company. Yes, they are. They are brothers. Check out their website, theblindbrothers.com, for monthly specials. Call them up. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, and you get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. The Blind Brothers will lay out all of your options, not just the most expensive ones, to fit your style and, most importantly nowadays, your budget. Give the Blind Brothers a call at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Back in a minute. second hour of the show, welcome back, everyone. Jeff Horvitz here. In second hour of the show, we will have Senator Kelly Townsend. She's also a candidate for LD7. And we're going to talk about Governor Ducey signing the Empowerment Scholarship Account. All Republicans voted for this thing. Zero Democrats voted for it. I mean, why wouldn't you vote for increasing competition when it comes to schools? Why wouldn't you support this? But all Republicans did. This is I got to be honest, a great triumph of this legislature coming through with this. I wasn't happy with their budget. I'll also ask Kelly Townsend in the next hour about this, what I call a bloated budget. This thing got, it is, it's a bloated monster of a budget. So we'll have her break all that down, plus this LD7 race. I also need to get back on the program as soon as possible, Kelly Broaddus, because she's in the top 2% of all realtors in the nation. And you need somebody like that right now, especially going into the market I think we're in. She was on last month and she told you how the market's changed. Housing is sitting there for a little bit longer, quite a bit longer than it was. So I don't know, maybe you're going to start seeing some quote unquote deals. Who knows? Because the market went up so much in just a couple year period. Call Kelly Broaddus. So if you want someone in your corner who knows the market, who's seen this stuff before, whether you're listing a home or you're buying a home, she can help you out and help you navigate through what's a very complex market right now. And you really need someone in your corner that knows their stuff. Call Kelly Broaddus at Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. Here's the number. And be sure to tell her I sent you, please. That helps her know that her sponsorship of the show is working and helps you out as well. So give her a call and let her know you heard it right here on the show. Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, 928-606-6749. 928-606-6749. By the way, you can also get a instant valuation and a market report as well by going to northernarizonafinehomes.com. Okay, let's sit on a couple of news items here. Actually, let's do a comment. Send your comments, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I guess COVID numbers are spiking again. I try not to fixate on this much at all anymore and report on it, talk about it, because really, I don't even think about it when I'm out and about. It's unusual to see somebody in a mask. You would hope it's unusual. But Deborah sent me this email. Hope that my family had a great 4th. She said Winslow had great fireworks, by the way. Thanks, Deborah. I hope you had a great time as well, especially watching the fireworks. I'm writing to express my sadness and disappointment over the return of medical tyranny. I was just at a grocery store in Flagstaff. I left the name of the grocery store out because I didn't give them the opportunity. I didn't call them and say, hey, can we confirm this? I just didn't have the time, Deborah. But I think if you go to a grocery store in Flagstaff and you see what Deborah's about to explain, you'll understand. But anyway, she said all the staff were masked up again. Ay, ay, ay. I asked a young man working there what was going on. He was upset and angry that the company is once again requiring daily temp checks and masks. I heard elsewhere testing shared that they're also testing and not sure if that's true. The young man was anxious about it. I became anxious and saddened as well. The powers that be just won't stop, especially in Flagstaff. Yeah, they love their masks. I went and found the manager and expressed my sadness and concern for his employees who do not want to breathe their own carbon dioxide for 8 hours a day. I told the manager I will find a grocery store which does not endanger the health of their employees. Wearing a mask or not should be their choice. I feel if this corporation is restarting the theatrics, others will follow. God help us. It's not about health, but control. I'm trying to, quote, let not thy heart be troubled, but I can't help it, Deborah. And I'm same way when I see this stuff. I think, Deborah, you did. Look, it's the power of the of your wallet, of your purse. You go where you're treated best and go where you think the company is treating their employees the best. There was many other grocery stores. If you're seeing these people starting to do this nonsense again, the best thing you can do is say, I'm going to shop elsewhere. Because we have laws in the state now that say you can't force these issues, especially when it comes to schools and our kids and all that. So we have choices. And I think that whether it's the medical tyranny stuff and forcing employees to put on these stupid masks that just are not working, never did. We know that now. If they're still going down the road of dumbness, well, then we got to change. And I've been saying that all year as I've tried to divest from stupid companies that are woke companies that I don't want to deal with them, whether it be Disney or Coca-Cola or whatever. I'm going to do my best to bring my business elsewhere, and hopefully enough of us eventually do that. And they change their ways. If not, well, then we're supporting other companies that follow along or believe in the values we do, at least a little bit more, or at least remain neutral and out of this garbage, right? Thanks for that email, Deborah. Send me an email. I love all your comments. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. The markets have been all over the place. I see oil went below $100 here the other day for the first time. I was able to get gas in Camp Verde for like $4.30. And it's like, wow, imagine living in a time where we'd be excited about 4:30. But I see gas in Flagstaff is generally still like $4.99. I don't know what's doing in Prescott and the rest of the state. We'll see where these markets go. I do want to remind you about some help, I guess, that you can have when it comes to finances and investing and things like that. If you tune in on Saturdays at noon, you can hear Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least, and he and I bounce all kinds of things back and forth, including investing, the stock market, oil. We've talked about we've talked about gold and silver. We talked about real estate. We've talked about cryptocurrency. So we're always covering something. Investing 101. Great info there. You can check it out every Saturday at noon right here on 97.1, the Big Talk. Are also streaming at bigtalkerradio.com. You can also give Glenn a call for a free, no-obligation consultation. He'll talk with you and talk about your individual situation. And him and WT Wealth Management takes a very proactive stance when it comes to investing. And it's been a challenging time. He's talked about it here on the program in the past couple months, and this year has been pretty rough, to say the least. But give him a call. He'll give you a complimentary consultation. Here's the number for Glenn Least, 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Give Glenn a call at 928-225-2474. Let's see. Governor Ducey, I'm very happy about the Empowerment Scholarship accounts, but I'm not happy about this really bad bill that was signed. Ducey allows Hollywood. He didn't sign it. He didn't even want his name on it. If he doesn't sign a bill that the legislature brings forward, then it becomes law just by his absence of a signature. He did not sign the Hollywood handout. According to Hollywood Reporter, Arizona will hand out about $125 million of your money in tax breaks to Hollywood, joining the ranks of just a handful of states, New Mexico, for example. Under a program that Governor Ducey allowed to become law Wednesday without his signature, productions that shoot in Arizona will be eligible for a refundable tax credit of 15 to 20% of expenses. Arizona Motion Picture Production Program will start at $15 million in 2023 and grow to $125 million by 2025. You wish you could get a great tax break like that. Why are we giving, as a state, this $125 million tax break to woke Hollywood? I have no idea. That's the problem with the bloated budget that happened. So good job, Governor, on signing Empowerment Scholarship accounts. Bad job on the Hollywood handouts. All right, next hour, we'll talk with Senator Kelly Townsend. Plus, keep your comments coming. Send them in right now. Email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hang tight. Back in a few.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, let's get caught up with Senator Kelly Townsend. Plus, I'm going to get to some of your comments this hour. Another hour of the show starts now. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for continuing to listen. Jeff Horowitz here. Another hour of the show coming up in just a second. Senator Kelly Townsend, we'll do kind of a debrief on the legislative session that just ended. Plus, if you were with us last hour, I was really happy to see that Governor Ducey signed the Empowerment Scholarship account expansion into law. I've had the past couple years, the governor and I have had, ups and downs. I think he's done some really good things, and I think he's done some things that have driven me crazy. But I will give him credit for this, and the Republican legislature, for this expansion of the Empowerment Scholarship accounts, which is going to make Arizona the leader when it comes to education freedom in this nation. So we'll break it down. Senator Kelly Townsend will break it down as well. Stick around for that. Then I think the last segment of the show, let's get to some of your comments. Great day yesterday on Open Line Wednesday. Thank you for all those calls. I think we got a few overflow calls, plus we've got some of your email comments. You can probably still get those in, and we'll get to them today or on tomorrow's show. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Sponsor for this segment of the show is our good friends at Sun State Tech. Cybersecurity is a huge issue nowadays, and things are so challenging. You don't want to go it alone. You need experts. And since 2007, Sun State Tech has been helping Arizona businesses, help keeping them safe and help operate safe, quickly and safely. They'll handle cybersecurity issues. They take care of managed IT services. They do voice over IP and more. Go visit sunstatetech.com right now. You can learn a lot more. Plus, you can take advantage of their free, no obligation technology risk assessment. Let the experts at Sun State Tech keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Visit sunstatetech.com today. All right. Let's welcome back to the program. It's happening. Senator Kelly Townsend, the ballots are out. Some people might even actually be getting them today. So here we are.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have you back. And hey, it was a good day. What'd you think about Governor Ducey signing the expansion of the Empowerment Scholarship accounts? I know you supported that bill as well.
Absolutely. We have so many problems in our schools right now, and it seems like parents can't find relief. And this is going to make a huge difference because the public schools are going to have to compete for these students, because now a parent can take their child anywhere and the money follows them to that school. So if the school wants to get funding, they're going to have to produce a product that they're not used to having to produce. And we're going to have to set aside all of this indoctrination, this wokeism, because Arizona parents aren't interested in that. They want their children to come out with good scores on history, on math, on English, and all the rest, you know, and they're not sending their kids to school to learn about, you know, various genders and that type of thing. So this is fantastic news because, like I said, it's kind of like the free market. It's going to drive success. The parents are going to take their children where they think is going to give them the best education. So this is really great news. The thing about ESA scholarship accounts, the Department of Education has not been a fan. They have not treated the parents of the students that have this very well. So one of the things I asked for in the budget was that we create an oversight group for parents and legislators to observe and watch how these guys are being treated, how the program's running, so that we can make improvements. We can protect these parents from the bias against them. And then we created a position at the ombudsman's office. The ombudsman is there to take care of people who have been wronged. So there will be a dedicated employee specifically to ESA students and parents. So ESA really is the thing of this year that is amazing. We are so proud of it. I'm grateful to Governor Ducey, to Ben Thoma for pushing it, and to all the Republicans who voted for it.
Absolutely. And just as a reminder, folks, Empowerment Scholarship counts. Picture it as your backpack of money where you can go to private schools. We had someone from Goldwater explain it and give great details on where this money can go. I think the one question I have, Senator Townsend, is let's just be blunt. You have a Democrat in charge of Superintendent of Public Instruction that oversees this. We have several weeks before kids start going back to school. I think it's going to be clunky. That's my only concern is how do we get this thing off the ground when you have an administration down there that really doesn't want it?
Well, you know, I bet there'll be growing pains, no doubt. But that's all part of the process.
Yeah, sure.
And I encourage parents to take advantage of this and, you know, put your child in the school of your choice. Remind the administrators, you know, why you're doing it. If you're removing your child from a particular school because of the attitude that they take, you know, that the child is theirs while they're in the walls, you know, and that they get to raise the child the way. You know, parents have a statutory right. It's ARS 1-602. So if you remember the area code for Phoenix, right, 602, and it's in the first chapter, ARS 1-602. It's the parents' bill of rights. They have the final say in the upbringing of their children. So
this year is just a stellar year for parents. And will it be smooth and perfect? Probably not. Yeah. But we have prepared for that. Like I said, I asked for the oversight group. I asked for the ombudsman's office. You know, I've been working with ESA parents. And, you know, this is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's launched. It's exciting. I think it's going to change the way half the states in the country educate their kids because they're going to follow suit. So let's back up just a second. And we're talking with Senator Kelly Townsend, who's running for reelection. And the district got kind of changed, and you're in LD7 now. So it's you versus, and both of you are incumbents. So an interesting race for the Republican nomination for LD7 for senator. You know, I don't want to jinx it here, but whoever wins this as a Republican probably will win the seat in the general election, but we can't take anything for granted because it is a pretty conservative leaning district, to say the least. But how did you get into this, Kelly? I mean, I call this what's your life story here in just a minute or two, so people can get to know you better as they're deciding, you know, who to fill in when they get their ballots.
Well, I've been in the legislature for 10 years. You know, I've represented East Mesa, Gold Canyon, Apache Junction, Little Queen Creek, Santan Valley, right? And so when they combined our districts, you know, they put Wendy Rogers in with me, who has been in the legislature for 2 years. And at first I decided, you know, we're both veterans and we both support Trump. I decided to run for Congress at first. Because I didn't want to go up against a fellow Republican conservative. And I actually got the endorsement in writing on my phone from President Trump for CD6. And that was February 28th. And when the Senate censured my opponent for threatening her colleagues and some other very unsavory things, she's had three ethics complaints. I tried to look past that, but, you know, she called us commies and was putting out emails asking for money from people to protect her from us. It just got to be too much, you know, three ethics complaints, a censure. And then when she supported Nick Fuentes, who is a Holocaust denier and, you know, vociferously supported him, he's just a very... not a nice human. It just became too much. We can't have that in our party. The party is drifting from the planks of what we believe in. And I felt like, you know what, I'm just going to run for reelection. I want to make the statement that this is not who we are. You know, we don't talk about the Jewish people this way. We don't talk about young women the way he talks about them. And when someone is like that, we can defend their First Amendment. Absolutely. We can defend their First Amendment to say those ugly things. But you have to put that disclaimer out there. We don't agree with that. And she wouldn't do that. She refused to do that. And it just became too much. So I decided, you know, just for the honor of our district, for our party, I've got to run for reelection. And I gave up the endorsement and I declined it. The media came out and said that I didn't get it. That wasn't true. In my statement that I released, I believe it was on March 1st or 2nd, that I declined it. So anyway, regardless, I'm moving forward. I'm running my race. I am a strong conservative. I would say I'm farther to the right than my opponent. She voted to increase food stamps for felons and to allow DNA to be taken without a warrant. That's a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. You know, so if we're going to compare, I would say I'm a little more conservative than she is. But I just want to do the honorable thing. I want to represent the district well, as I have been, and we're moving forward.
We're talking with Senator Kelly Townsend. You mentioned I think you mentioned something like the party drifting and things going a little astray in on some matters. And I've sensed that's happened on many issues. In Arizona, fortunately, things like empowerment scholarship accounts and a lot of good things were passed this session. However, I got to ask you, what happened with the budget? I mean, this thing, I think I've talked with you in the past. I've spoken with many of your colleagues in the past about the size of the budget going from, you know, 10 billion to 11 billion, then to 12. Then we were like, oh, maybe it's going to be 14 and a quarter billion. Then all of a sudden it's what, $18 billion, Kelly. This concerns me and a lot of people as far as the growth of Arizona's state budget. Comment on that.
I know it does. I can only tell you from my perspective and what I observed. We had a request from a couple of the Republican legislators to have an all-Republican budget. They dug in, they refused to agree to the budget that we had had, and they refused to work with the caucus, and their demands were beyond what the leadership was willing to do. Now, I'm not saying I agree with either side. This is just my observation. And because they couldn't come to an agreement, leadership, knowing that we needed to get out of there, we normally are out of there in the middle of April. We're supposed to be there 100 days and that's it. And here we are all the way almost to the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. And we just can't keep going like that. And so my observation was they needed to finalize this budget and ended up having to work with Democrats to get to the 16 votes in the Senate and the 31 over in the House. So in order to get a budget passed on time, because we had two Republicans that wouldn't agree with whatever it was that they were presented with, the leadership to finalize it and get it done on time had to go with Democrats. And when you go with Democrats, they're going to ask for stuff in order to earn their vote. So that, in my opinion, is why the budget got blown up so huge. And, you know, my ask, I had to really grapple with what do I do, because I could have voted no and made a statement, but we have a serious election problem. And I had requests in there and had been a promise that that would be in the budget, that we would have money, you know, for our auditor general to go in there and do audits and have quality assurance officers going in and making sure people were compliant with the law. And, you know, I can't list everything right now. It'd take too long, but there was a lot of election law dollars going into the budget. And if I made a statement and said, no, I can't vote on this huge budget, then we would have right back to the 2020 election laws, which I don't know about your listeners, but I can't settle for that. I can't go forward and say, well, you know, we're just going to have to go back to the laws we had in 2020. You know, we need reform. We need our voters to feel confident that their votes matter, that they count, that they're not canceled by an illegal vote. So I had to make the decision, and I decided to go ahead and vote for it, hold my nose, so that we could get the election reform. That's the first time this has ever happened.
How do you dial back? Like next year, let's say the economy, let's say receipts are down and tax revenue and the revenue's not there. Do you worry that it gets to a point where it's like now going back to $16 billion or $15 billion you don't like people anymore. You don't like babies and puppies and kittens. You're slashing, you know, you're slashing the budget, Kelly. You know, how do we dial it back?
That's called austerity measures.
Yeah. How do we?
Yeah, that's called austerity measures.
Yeah.
So here's my thinking. If we grow the Republican numbers in both houses, and I think we will after redistricting, if you know what that is, listeners, it's, you know, they redraw the lines and it favors Republicans that we will pick up seats. So if we pick up seats, we won't have the problem of one or two senators or representatives holding everybody hostage like this. You'll have the ability to get something passed, because when you have one vote majority, it just takes one person to say no and everything dies. So we need to build our numbers with conservative legislators, and then you're getting
one rid of one rhino. Although I think it was good on the ESA thing, but you won't name names. Anyway, we're with Senator Kelly Townsend. We've only got about 5 minutes left, Kelly, so I want to make sure we get a couple of these issues going. What do you see coming back next year? Why do you want to come back again to the Senate, to the legislature? What didn't you get through this time that you want to see next session?
Well, our friend that you were talking about killed about 17 of my election bills that would have really tightened up things. Things as simple as the employees need to have a unique login and a password that they can't share with others, because we saw files being deleted the night before the audit, and everybody's using the same login, so no one knows who that was. Luckily, they have video of who it was. But something as simple as you have to have a unique login was voted no on by one Republican, which killed the bill. So I've got a lot of a lot of election integrity, election security stuff yet to do, and we have to fix it. You know, I did get a lot done on other things, but there was still more. There's a lot we need to do. Elections is a huge issue with a lot of moving parts. So we need to tighten it up. And the name of the game is voter confidence. We don't want to make it hard to vote, but we want to make it secure so that it's hard to cheat, right? And that's what we need to do. So we did move the ball down the field, but we haven't got to the end zone yet. So I still need to come back and can't wait to do it.
Yeah, I'm baffled. I'm baffled why they fight a lot. I mean, you got this DOG fight going on right now against showing proof of citizenship. It's like, really, we have to fight this. I don't know why these ballots aren't barcoded. This came up on the show yesterday. Like, when you send it in, once it gets in the pile, there's no way to track whose ballot is who. What's wrong with tracking these things?
There's a thing called the secret vote, and that's important. So we're looking at technology of how can we preserve the secrecy of your vote, because you don't want your employer knowing how you voted, you know, especially in today's political climate. But we want to make sure that's preserved. So there are ways of doing it, but we have to get there with the technology first.
Okay.
And the envelopes are barcoded. The drop boxes are an issue. That's why I was endorsed by, if anybody's seen 2,000 Mules, Greg Phillips, who was in that, endorsed me because he knows how hard I've been working and how effective I've been. And we have a solution for the drop boxes. I just as soon get rid of them. I knew we weren't going to be able to because of our friend, a senator. So we have, we've got money in the budget that I requested because I came up with the idea of like an ATM-style ballot drop box as a plan B. If we can't fix, if we can't get rid of them, then we should have something secure. Put cash into a machine that, you know, you should be able to do that with a ballot.
Yeah. And you'd be scared to put cash in those drop boxes, to be quite frank, you know? Right. So, and I don't mind naming names. Senator Boyer's retiring, so I'll just name the name here. Kelly, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
We need to get the majorities up, because then you don't have people holding things hostage for their issues. I'd like to give this to everybody who comes on, especially when we're in elections, real quick. Senator Kelly Townsend, why you?
Well, I had just said earlier, you know, with Greg Phillips endorsing me, because he knows, and I have several endorsements locally, the professional firefighters, the police, the Arizona Police Association, the troopers, several mayors, and I could go on and on, but I don't want to spend all the time on those, but they know that I'm effective. They know that I'm not going to embarrass the party. They know that I know what I'm doing. So I would ask for your support. I'm not going to go out and get ethics complaints. I'm not going to be censured. I'm not going to be threatening to hit people, you know, the things that we've seen on social media. You know, sometimes President Trump doesn't get it right, you know, and he doesn't know our state well enough. And I think that I would ask the people to look at my record to see how effective I am, how professional I am, and that I want to come back and continue to work on this and do it well. And my opponent, you know, something as small as putting your campaign signs on the freeway, which is a crime, and then not moving them, knowing that they're up there illegally, the things that have happened with the ethics, it's a matter of character. And I would just ask you to consider character and vote for me when you get your ballot. I'm asking for your vote because I need to get back in there and finish the job. I'm not there to be on social media to go raise a bunch of money for myself. You know, I hate to talk about it, but you guys need to know, you know, you need to know what's really gone on. And I think if President Trump really knew all of this, he probably wouldn't have made the decision he did. Nevertheless, I have so many local endorsements. They know that Team Townsend is the way to go.
All right.
Thanks, Senator, for letting me talk
yeah,
about
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Senator Kelly Townsend, wishing you the best, and we'll talk with you soon. It's just a few more weeks to go, so we'll talk with you soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, folks, and I'd love your comments. Go ahead and send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Welcome back, everyone. I was just handed my daily intake of political mailers. Do you guys get a bunch of these? I'm sure you do. It's just like there's like 10 in my mailbox today. Who's this one? Mark DeLuzio for Congress. I think he's in my LD7. Have we spoken with him? We got to look back at that. CD2 race. He's running for Congress. Yeah, this is quite the heated race for Congress in Congressional District 2. I think whoever gets through and gets the Republican nomination, I think they have a really good shot at beating Congressman Democrat Tom O'Halloran, because, man, he just votes lockstep with Pelosi and never seen the guy, and I don't see him around our community. So I think it's time for him to go. You know, I think he's served enough, and I say this about a lot of people. The governor's race, though, I'm unsure of who to vote for. I've got to be honest with you. That's why I did those clips on the border. Maybe next week, I don't know if we'll have time tomorrow, but maybe next week we'll pick a couple other topics and pull out just the 3 or 4 minute clips to hopefully help you. I do have a question, though, here from a listener in Dewey regarding Carrie Lake that I'll address or try to address here in just a second. I want to tell you about Desert Gold Exchange. I've seen the price of silver has come down quite a bit recently, and so have stocks, so have just about everything except for your price of gas and food and all the inflationary items. Look, I have been a big proponent of gold and silver when it comes to inflation, when it comes to the devaluation of our dollar. I don't give financial advice, but I can tell you what I have done for years is, I like to have a little silver coin or. You know, if you can get a gold coin and set it aside in a secure location, buried far away from your home or whatever you may be doing with it, you don't know what's going to happen with these crazy governments printing a bunch of money. So why don't you call my friends at Desert Gold Exchange, mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, and you can get a free investor's kit sent up. You can also talk with Justin and his family. This is a family-run company. This is going to be a no-pressure quote. They'll fill you in onto gold and silver. They also handle things like IRAs. You can actually put gold and silver into those accounts. Call Desert Gold Exchange. Talk to him about inflation. You've heard him here on the program. They'll help you out, and they get you physical gold and silver delivered in usually as little as 48 hours, 72 hours. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. I haven't done any comments from the Just Wireless listener line today. Let's do this one. Someone just heard me talking last hour about, pulling those clips and talking about the four candidates for governor. Julie from Dewey had this to say.
This is Laura from Dewey. I just want to know, is it true what they say about Carrie Lake, that she voted for Obama and worked for him? I'd really like that answered. I don't understand why I never heard her answer that.
Thank you for that call. And I think it was... I think you said Laura. I'm sorry, I said Julie. I think that was Laura from Dewey. I had Carrie Lake on, obviously, a couple times, and she talked about how, I believe in one interview, how she was a Democrat and her kind of evolution, from being a Democrat to a Republican. I don't know if that's as big of a factor for me. Look, I don't have what's the right word to use? I don't have a pick on the governor's race yet, to be honest with you, between these four. I'm leaning towards one of two. At this point, I don't know if I'm ready to share with you, because this gets really emotional. People hear an ad and they're like, oh, I don't like that person now. But I would say, hey, take it with a grain of salt. I got a bunch of mailers here on candidates and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I try to listen to their full length interview, and you can get Carrie's full length interview and Karen Taylor Robeson's and Scott Neely and Paula Tuliani Zen. I tried to spend 30, 40 minutes with them each or more. I think we did multiple interviews to try to draw them out as a person. What do you think about it? Are they a lot of these candidates, you know, maybe 50-50, I don't know, 25% of the time they actually follow through on their stuff, and trying to weed through the BS is really hard. And I get that. But she has openly said that she was a Democrat in the past. Is that going to be a deciding point for me? No, I'm going to look at the candidate and say, where are you at now? How have you evolved? I mean, I know there's a lot of Trump supporters out there, and Trump was a Democrat and supported Democrats in the past as well. So I don't know if that's the metric anymore that I can go by, because people change over time. I don't know why she would. And again, I'm not endorsing any candidate for governor here, but I don't know why Carrie would come out so hard to the right on all of her issues, only to be you know, blown away by people saying, well, you supported Obama at one point. I don't know if that would do it for me. But listen to her entire interview. That's all I can say. And then you got to make that decision. Again, if you go to talkwithjeff.com and you pick on, you click on election 2022, listen to all of them. And I'll try to keep bringing clips up here, maybe for another week or so as you continue to get your ballots. Let's see here. A couple other news items. Oh, this one, you know what? I don't think I can give this one enough time with 4 minutes left. A listener asked me, Nicola. Nicola, please, I will answer your question about getting your ballot, because in Arizona, if you're an independent, you can request a Republican or Democrat ballot. I'll just tell you right now, you can still do that if you're an independent. I have the numbers up at talkwithjeff.com. Again, same place that the interviews are at. Click on election 2022, and right at the top of that page, I have the numbers for Yavapai, Navajo, and Coconino County Elections Office, Recorder's Office, and it tells you when you can request your early ballots by. If you haven't done that yet, you still have time. I believe you have until July 22nd, but do it soon. If you're an independent, and I'll give more attention to this tomorrow, Nicola, thank you for asking the question that, you know, how do you do this? If you're an independent, you can still pull either a Republican or independent ballot and get that sent to you. And the number's up at talkwithjeff.com. And on tomorrow's big weekly roundup, we'll spend a little more time on that one. Okay, I want to hit on this DOJ issue real quick on the election issue. I don't want to leave without talking about that, but I do want to mention our last sponsor here of the day, and it's Nova Home Loans. This is a really important one because I still think rates are probably low. I think they're probably going higher, quite a bit higher. Even the Federal Reserve have come out and said that. None of us have a crystal ball. Anything can happen with this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm not giving an absolute prediction here, but that's how I'm going by. In fact, I just refinanced a mortgage with Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans for that very same reason, because I think rates are going to be higher next year. If they're not, well, I guess I can refinance. But Kim Dawson is a local girl who's backed by the Power of Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. She's got experience here in the area. I can tell you personally, because I've dealt with her and have done refinances through her. So give her a call, whether you're looking at refinancing or purchasing. And who knows, it might be a better time for purchasing coming up, I hope, with the inventory, you know, clogging up a little bit and you know, more homes being on the market. Call Kim Dawson. I'll give you the number here, 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. And you can also check out Kim by going to novahomeloans.com. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Am I going to have time for this? God. Okay, so that we're continuing to have this battle between Department of Justice and Arizona's election, new election law, which says that you have to actually show proof of citizenship to be able to vote in Arizona. And now a judge says, because Attorney General Brnovich, he wanted to sue to get this thing so that it'll be in effect this election cycle. But the judge came in and said, no, you can't ask for that when it comes to asking for you a citizen of the United States. And the judge says that Brnovich had waited so long to sue over his perceived problems with the manual, the election manual, which states this stuff, that he could not order the few changes that may be merited. So he said he delayed too long, and it's just, that's according to the judge. I've sent two texts to Brnovich in the past week to come on the program, have not heard back. So we'll try. But anyway, ridiculous that in Arizona we come up with a law to protect our elections. And we were talking with Senator Townsend about this, and you get these judges coming in. And why wouldn't you want to have proof of ID to vote? I just don't get it. So there we go, held up in courts once again. All right, tomorrow on the program, a big weekly roundup, so I hope you'll tune in. We'll go over more election stuff, get you caught up on more news items, plus review the biggest stories and interviews of the week. I hope you'll tune in. Have a great, safe night. See you soon.